come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast.
Jesus, are you from the 50s now?
This is Casey Kasem.
This is the morning, zoo.
We wanted it more excitable, so there we go. So every Saturday night, we do this right here on your radio dial, which isn't really the radio. It's actually on the internet. But you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Google Play Store, everywhere. If you found us there, folks, please give us a star rating or a like, because it helps other like-minded folks like yourself find us. Really does help out. Algorithms and all that shit. It's crazy. So what we do is we watch movies every Saturday, and then we sit around and talk about them afterwards for your listening pleasure and enjoyment. Who are the people who will talk about these movies, you want to know? The Internet Radio Superstars.
Nick.
Holly.
Sean.
And I'm Colin.
And Colin did lines before this podcast, apparently.
Well, I mean, it is the 80s that we're going back to.
That's so very
I think
true.
It's only appropriate.
So in kinship with the 80s, we all did coke before this podcast.
Yeah. Not really. But no. So
you'll never know.
We're too broke for that.
Backpedaling. So tonight's movie. So this was part of our listeners' choice
pick
selection.
One.
Yes.
That we did in November. We asked you guys what you wanted us to review. Thank you all very much for submitting, because we got bunch of submissions.
We got
of
some
movies.
Good ones.
We got so a list.
What we did is we sat around, and there was actually a night when we sat around and watched a bunch of trailers of some of the ones that we hadn't heard of, because I think that's what we were going for, stuff that we hadn't heard of or hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
That we were all kind of interested in. We saw the trailer for Dead Heat.
Dead Heat.
And Sean
it was unanimous, I think.
It really was. We're like, yes, we're picking this.
Obviously.
I think me and Colin almost had a fight over who was going to pick it. He's like, you pick it, and then I can pick
it.
It
had a pretty good trailer.
Yeah. It had a good trailer.
I remember when I was going for my pick, I was like, well, Sean, you're doing Dead Heat, right? That was a factor in
somebody
my choice.
Has to pick Dead Heat.
Yeah. So this was suggested by Dom Cree.
Thank you, Dom.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Dom.
So, Sean, what year was this movie made?
1988.
The 80s.
The late 80s.
88.
Yes, late 80s.
The height of Treat Williams.
A good year, maybe. I think.
Until he got to, like, The Substitute. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, who made Treat Williams?
A star?
A movie star.
I'm low. Yeah.
Thank you, whoever you are.
That's one we don't know. Where did Treat Williams start off?
Why, but I mean, in a series of dramatic roles.
I imagine.
Not necessarily known as a comedic actor, I don't think. So maybe that's why he was kind of playing against type in this movie, we think. This is where Sean says, no, he was in all sorts
of comedy. He was in, he's been in comedy. Yeah,
did you not see Phantom? The Phantom. He was pretty funny in that.
When he got evaporated.
Yeah. We watched that on this show.
We did.
So who is the director of this film?
Mark Goldblatt.
Who's he?
He is an editor. He's a Hollywood editor, actually. I wonder, I just had him up here, but mostly
like Terminator 2. And,
Terminator, I mean, just Terminator.
Way back to like just, The Howling, that would kind of blow me away.
Yeah, you listed off a smorgasbord.
There was a whole shitload. The last thing he did was Chappie, but before that, and you may know some of these, listener, I mean, Piranha, Halloween 2, The Howling, Wavelength, The Terminator, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Commando, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Predator 2, Nightbreed, Last Boy Scout, Terminator 2, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario
Sean's
Brothers,
favorite.
That classic.
And Showgirls.
Oh, Showgirls.
Showgirls.
Colin's favorite.
True Lies, Starship Troopers. Armageddon, Detroit Rock City, Hollow Man, Pearl Harbor, Bad Company, Bad Boys 2.
The list goes on.
It goes on and on. A lot of action movies. The Wolfman, your favorite.
There you go. But as like a director, Wolfman. We're saying he only did, I think he did three films. Dead Heat being his first
triumph.
Dead Heat, The Punisher, and an episode of Erie, Indiana.
All right, so we're saying The Punisher, but we're actually talking about the Dolph Lundgren, Lou Gossett Jr. Punisher.
Yes, the 1989. The Punisher.
Not the Thomas Jane Punisher.
No.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into this movie, I'm curious if any of you have seen or heard of a movie called DOA.
No.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it. But I'm
familiar. I saw a piece of it.
Well, that was that clinched the deal for me, but as a piece of it shows up in this movie. But
how old is that movie?
It's well, I think it's from the 50s with Edmund O'Brien. However, this is what also made me think of it. It was remade with Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, who were a couple at the time, in 1988.
As DOA?
As DOA.
Yeah.
And it's basically about a, it's a plot about a guy who has to solve his own murder because he's poisoned. He goes to the doctor, finds out he's been poisoned. He's got 24 hours to find out who killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
It does. It does. Yeah, no, I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
What Which is an interesting concept. I like
it. We're right.
Yeah.
Why not remake it with if you actually got killed?
Right.
And came back as a
Which
zombie.
Which makes it even better.
And had 24 hours before you decomposed to
find
out.
Let's add some Joe Piscopo. Yeah. Right. Call it a day.
Yes. There's also a movie called Red Heat with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jim Belushi. Yeah. Came out in 1988. Is there something happening here?
I know Red Heat. There's a lot of heat going on.
Did I say Red Heat?
It's Red Heat.
Yeah, Red Heat.
It's Red Heat,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But
yeah.
This movie's called
Dead Heat.
Dead Heat.
Same year. Same year as DOA. Same year as... What was happening in the zeitgeist that made
cops,
Dead Heat?
Man. Buddy cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people investigating their own deaths.
Did they do that in Red Heat?
No, but they did it in DOA. Which came
right.
Out the same. Yeah. It was in, all right. Trying
so
to
the only connection
the
is the title. With Red Heat. That's
cross
it.
The streams.
He was investigating in this to find out who killed him. Yeah. Someone flipped that switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed they do.
Okay, so this movie. This? Right? So we get a dream team up.
Dream team.
I didn't know I wanted it until I got it.
Yes.
And Joe Piscopo, Treat Williams. Yeah. Treat Williams plays the more straight-laced cop,
yeah.
I guess it would seem. And obviously Joe Piscopo is the kind of the loose cannon,
the
as it were.
Yes.
He's the guy who works out at the gym.
Constantly, apparently.
Constantly. Who wears the flashy jackets, the arm...
Massive shoulder pads.
Leather jackets.
And
short
comes on to every single woman who just randomly, even nuns, it doesn't matter, anybody just comes within his field of vision.
Well, they're all fair game.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes.
So Joe Piscopo was a Saturday Night Live comedian.
He was, yeah.
It's the only thing I know him from.
Yeah, that's because I'm saying he did all their movie roles.
Famously
right?
did a skit with Eddie Murphy where they portrayed Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder doing Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah.
That's the big one I remember.
Didn't he also do a version of the, what's the Carol O'Connor show?
All in the Family.
All in the Family. Didn't he do like a bit with, it may have been with Eddie Murphy where they're at the piano singing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's Ebony and Ivory. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
You are black and I am
blind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You are blind as a bat. It's great.
Oh.
So we know he did other movie roles and this had to have come, although they're escaping my memory at this
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, I couldn't name a.
This had to come at like toward the end of his, I'm assuming the end of his movie popularity.
Sure.
This is what
Let's
you do
out.
When it's like, hey, you know, the phone isn't ringing so much anymore. Well, hey, Joe, we got this movie called Dead Heat that you should check out. And his agent signed him up for it.
The sidekicks hadn't happened yet. Right. That was later.
You play a badass cop. Sidekicks.
Sidekicks.
Well, the badass cop thing was like also an 80s staple.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That was kind of codified in a movie called Lethal Weapon, I'm going to say, right?
Yeah.
The buddy cop.
Yeah.
And that was made by a guy named Shane Black,
mm-hmm.
written
mm-hmm.
by a guy named Shane Black.
Colin, who wrote this movie, Dead Heat?
This was made by, written by a guy named Terry Black.
Any relation?
Shane Black's brother.
There it is. Yeah.
Shane Black also makes a cameo in this movie as a cop later on.
Yeah. He's so the one who gives up his gun at the sight of a badge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is why we all need badges, just so we can go up and like, hey, I'm a police officer. Give me your gun.
Yeah. I need what you have.
We don't need a radio headquarters.
No, just give it to the dead guy who came out of a burning van.
Happens every episode of Supernatural. So.
It's fine.
Oh, awesome. All right, so let's set up this movie. Like, what is this thing about?
Oh, geez. So they're partners. They're cops. Badass because they all drive a red convertible like you do
in
the 80s.
Mean, yeah.
Everybody does.
And this is probably Los Angeles. Or is it San Francisco?
San Francisco.
I feel like it's probably San Francisco.
It's just as you do in California.
Yes.
All right.
Always in California. But how do they – shit. How do they get onto the – oh.
Jewelry
there's
heist.
The jewelry heist at the beginning of the movie by some really – creep-ass looking dudes.
Yeah.
Who...
At this point, we just thought they were ugly.
Yeah, we just thought
and
they
dumb.
Were
just,
yeah, we didn't know.
They just kind of growl and just like... Ugh.
And they got some shit on their face.
Yeah, they look like this. Yes, to say the least.
Yeah.
They rob the place, and then the entire police brigade shows up within 30 seconds. And
well, it's a good response system sure. they have there in San Francisco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't fuck with them.
No,
apparently not. Because they will shoot your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they proceed to do once the burglars exit the building. And they keep shooting them and keep shooting them and keep shooting them.
And they won't go down.
And they won't go down.
Well, nobody has the idea that you got to shoot these guys in the head. I mean, a headshot might be...
Center mass, man. You got to go for the center mass.
Yeah.
You think that after the enough of the volleys that they took that there wouldn't be anything left of them, but these guys just keep on...
That's kind of what I was waiting for, like somebody to get like just... The middle of the arm just shot like off, but have it keep going.
Yeah.
Kind of like Return of the Living Dead 3.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
he gets the middle shot off, but he's still going because he's in the machine. That's what kind of what I was expecting.
Just like eviscerated by bullets, but not dead, but not stopping. Going. Yeah. Right. That's what I was waiting for.
But they don't want to go too far off the bat because there's still some like mystery as to what's going on here at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So they eventually like bring them down.
Well,
one gets,
hero cop, well, yes. Treat Williams, because I mean, let's say this guy is a fucking action hero.
Yeah.
He gets in, he steals the squad commander or the lieutenant's cop. A car.
Yeah.
This is Robert Picardo also making a with a mustache
with a caterpillar under his nose. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Amazing mustache.
And so what was his method? He's like, I'm going to drive by these guys
and shoot out the window. The
passenger side window.
Which has got can't be accurate whatsoever compared to 50 cops shooting at these guys. Like, what does he think he's going to do?
Well, he's like, I'm going to take care of this.
Yeah,
I mean, in only the way that an action movie cop can. I'm going to be doing something really extravagant and stupid, but it's going to totally bring them down. It doesn't bring them down.
No. Well, the only one reason, gets accidentally blown up by his own grenade.
Yeah, the guy drops his own grenade. That's the only reason it worked.
But he does stop the other guy by driving straight into him with the car.
Yeah.
Which actually looks pretty decent.
It looked good.
Yeah, it did.
Slammed into him.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
Solid.
Yeah.
And so now they're on the case of trying to figure out, first of all, they're all kind of wondering, like, why we shot these guys 50 times each. Why aren't they down? Why aren't they dead?
Let's take them to the morgue and find out.
So they go to the morgue, and then the...
It seems reasonable so far.
Sure.
So far,
with it.
Mm-hmm. So far. I'm in. Yeah.
A few quips by Joe Piscopo every now and again to kind of throw us off a little bit. But other than that, we're in. We're with them. So they get sent to the morgue. What was her name? Elizabeth? I forgot her name.
Randy?
It's Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Smithers.
Dr. Smithers. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. She calls them back down to the morgue to show them a discovery she's made.
The sexual tension between her
you
and
can cut it.
Yes.
With
we
a
all
knife.
Discovered the sexual tension at that point in the movie. Just that look he gave her.
Literally, he walks in and Sean goes, well, they've had sex.
They have a history. They know each other.
Well, hello, Elizabeth. Well, hello.
He's like, hello.
Roger.
How are you?
What's his name?
Roger Mortis.
Roger Mortis.
Wink, wink.
This is not foreshadowing at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And she brings him in, shows him the bodies. Apparently, they've been there before. They have autopsy marks all over the body.
Peculiar.
She's got pictures of them previously in the morgue. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's weird. Why?
That's more evidence
What's
building.
Going on?
Something weird is happening here.
Right. And then what's his name? The head body doc.
Oh, the old
Darren
man.
Darren McGavin. The dad from A Christmas
old
Story.
Old man from A Christmas Story.
I think he actually said this like, well, obviously you screwed up, and when you were done, they got up and walked out. I think that was his explanation for the whole situation at that point.
Because that's the natural thing.
Because that's
seems legit.
Well, as you do. I mean, when that happens to you, you just kind of shrug it off. Walk it off. You don't want to dwell on these things.
Right.
And he's her boss, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I assume.
Yeah, he's the medical examiner.
Yes.
Of the county medical examiner.
She's like the assistant at that point.
Yeah.
So they do a little investigating. They found...
They're investigating. I like this. So they're... Well, because there's a compound in the bloodstream.
Body. Yes.
That leads them to a chemical company called Dante's Chemicals.
Yes.
Right?
Which,
again, they're like, okay, so I don't know where they're going with that. It's like there's some kind of hell imagery associated with... Dante.
Yeah.
And there's also in the end credits, there was a special thank you to Joe Dante.
Mm.
So I'm guessing
there it is.
That's the connection.
Okay. Yep.
There we go. So like
he did the howling.
Right.
Mark Goldblatt. Okay.
Yep. There it is.
And Piranha. Boom.
And Piranha.
All right. Sorry.
Solved.
So they go to Dante Chemicals because they're like, well, they just ordered a huge supply of this. Mm-hmm. So we're going down there to check this out.
Yep.
They run
and they meet.
the creepy security guard at the front desk.
Oh, that, well, that was kind of
random.
Penthouse?
Yeah, that was very random. Yeah.
In a scene that doesn't lead anywhere. The guy's, he's got his nose in a Penthouse magazine. They come up and introduce themselves as police officers. The guy doesn't acknowledge them. They say, we're Lieutenant, you know, Mortis.
He is engrossed in that Penthouse.
Well, yeah. Is he a zombie?
Is that what we're going with on this? That's why he didn't respond?
That's what I was kind of feeling, is that he was a zombie. That's why they weren't getting any reaction.
He died
out of
pretty
him.
Easily later on. I mean, I'm willing to go with the whole zombie thing because he was just kind of.
That's the only way that it would make any sense. There was no payoff to it.
Yeah.
The joke. It's like, okay, there's a guy with his nose in a Penthouse magazine. They take the magazine down. They say, where is Dr. So and so? And then Dr. So and so shows up, or at least the head of PR.
The head of PR. Yeah. Randy James.
Randy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this woman is now going to become basically the female lead in the movie.
Yes.
And she is a linchpin to the mystery of where these dead robbers have come from. The undead robbers have come from.
She gives them a tour of the chemical factory.
She stops off at the asphyxiation room.
Oh, yes.
Natural part of the tour.
Well, I mean, if you have an asphyxiation room, I mean, if you had one, I would expect you to show it off if I went over to your house.
Yeah, I would.
Because that would
so.
Be a centerpiece, I would think.
That like, would be an
here is the room.
Be like, you don't want to stand in this room.
Yeah, this is where I kill my cats. Yeah.
Be careful. Oh, whatever you do, don't go in this room.
Don't go into these easily accessible from the lobby rooms.
This is not the bathroom.
They're very dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Oi.
This is the room where we suck all the where they kill humanely animals, but the room is clearly big enough to hold like a platoon.
Right. Yeah. Not like well, in case you got to put a bowl in there or something.
A bowl in a china shop.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll make sense later.
Yeah. Once we get to that. Mm-hmm. Then there's a door marked hazardous chemicals. Please do not enter.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joe Piscopo
naturally
enters.
Joe Piscopo enters.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. If you have one of these places, which is you know, where you're keeping your most closely guarded secrets,
yes,
right. I mean, according to the movies, the best way to get into these places is just take a piece of metal and shove it into the card
the
reader.
That's
high security. If we've learned anything from these movies, you can either short it out or shoot it, and that will open the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you just shoot it, everything goes.
But there's also the – you don't need search warrants because that would just slow you down, and we're men of action. We have to get – I mean, there was
– They were invited in. They're like, I'll take you around.
There's nothing in this movie where it's kind of –
by the book at all?
Well, no. Without any kind of real-world consequences.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
To say the least.
Would you really expect it out of this movie, though?
Well, I think – but it also kind of came from the 80s. There was something – I mean, you go back and look at, like, Rambo or Cobra or Commando. I mean, Commando is a good example for this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's shit going on that, like, you know – Yeah, I mean, these are some type of, like, very muscular male fantasy films where you just go in and fuck shit up everywhere and everybody applauds you for it. When you're
right, there. Except for your black police captain who yells at you later on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, in every movie.
Every movie happened in this one.
He wants your damn badges.
Called Prisoners. You seen this with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Don't say anything about it because I haven't watched it yet. Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away.
Okay.
There's one scene.
Is there?
Where there's a scene where the cop has to go into the detective, the captain's office, but it plays the other way around. The cop comes in yelling at the detective. Yelling at the captain.
Nice. Yeah.
And I was like, this is a pretty good switch on this
I liked that movie.
Know, convention.
It's
yeah.
a good movie.
The
Dangerous Chemicals.
Dangerous Chemicals, Short Circuit, enters freely. After the door opens like a foot. But he just wanders in looking at a giant machine in this room with something big covered in a tarp in the middle.
This is where they hide the giant machine.
This is where they hide the giant
machine. Company, right?
And what's under this tarp? What? What's under the tarp?
An orc of some sort? I don't know what this happened to this man.
It has like three faces fused together.
Was three faces that were sewn together?
Yeah. It was kind of weird. I mean, just like looking at it because it's fast moving, you know, and the shots that they – and I'm like, am I glitching in, you know, just looking at it? It looks like there's like at least three noses in there.
Three faces, but they were the same face.
I feel like they had a motorcycle accident and they just tried to sew them back together.
And they came up with somehow two additional noses?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Because you can't have a reanimated criminal wandering around with missing parts of
his
face.
And he had this huge, bloodless gut on him.
He's huge.
Well, because you're expecting at some point the thing's going to pop.
Yeah, and, well, you know. That's what I was waiting for because I play this game. It's called Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the zombies in that game are like exploding zombies, and they have these big guts and all that. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Belcher?
Belchers, yeah. I think that's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
And I was waiting for them to explode.
The guys who made that movie probably... Or sorry, made that game. Probably saw this movie. No, it's very similar. It's,
I don't know if anybody's covered seen in this movie. Collins.
I think it's safe to say if you see a zombie with a big, huge, bloated gut, you assume that it's probably going to blow up.
Oh, I thought you said you assume that they got their inspiration from Dead Heat.
No.
Nobody got inspired. Right. Nobody was inspired by Dead Heat.
I've seen that on Walking Dead too, with the bloated gut, and it does explode in some capacity.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
as they do. Nice makeup. Or not?
I think so.
I thought it was decent.
As far as this movie goes, I give a thumbs up to. I give it about a B+, maybe an A-. It's pretty good.
It was decent. Yeah.
Steve Johnson was responsible for it. I think we talked about him before. From the era, you know, doing a lot of these fantasy horror films. Mm-hmm. He was a staple. Is he the biggest star associated with this movie? No, it would be Treat Williams or Joe Piscopo. But I mean, like, to the Fangoria audience that was reading it, was, you know,
they're seeing
like
it for myself. That.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's new Steve Johnson makeups or whatever.
Yes, a new Steve Johnson movie.
Yeah. I don't know. They have like again, we're talking about these practical effects, which now you can kind of read as, what would you say? Like, there's a certain cheesiness to them,
sure.
Right? Because when there's a body melt, you know, there's a series of dissolves or cutaways and things go gloppy and fall on the floor in bits and pieces and they smoke. Like there's some kind of dry
smoke.
Ice
and
little bubbles popping up in the bloop, 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 bloop. And, but this is something I don't think that we get to see a lot anymore. So whenever I see this kind of stuff, I'm nostalgic for it. But I don't know if it's necessarily just nostalgia because it's good, cool.
Or if it's just nostalgia.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure that definitely has something to do with it.
Yeah, because you're watching it and you're like, that looks bad.
Yeah, it looks bad.
You can identify it as bad, but you can still enjoy it. Yeah. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be just the line for this movie. You can identify it as bad, but you can still enjoy it.
That could be the line for most movies you watch.
It should just be the subtitle. Yeah.
Welcome
Saturday Night
to the Saturday Night.
Welcome.
Yeah. Listeners. So what is this gigantic machine that they have in the chemical room?
Well, as the characters figure out right away, without any information otherwise.
This is how they're bringing people back from the dead.
It brings people back from the dead.
Well, to be clear, this is the coroner, right?
The assistant coroner.
The assistant coroner, Rebecca. Smithers.
Yes.
She somehow puts all this together.
She turns the computer on. After hitting two buttons, she figures it all out.
Now, I'm sorry. Does nobody lock down a place where there's just been a mass shooting and zombie attack? Like, they shot the security guard at the front desk. He's dead. The cop, Treat Williams, died.
Wait, how'd he die? He skipped right over that.
Oh, we did. Well, they skipped over everything else in this movie, so I'm going to skip over his death.
Obviously, he died in the asphyxiation chamber. I can't say it.
That's why we brought that up earlier.
Foreshadowing.
But I told you it was important.
Sorry, I've been drinking.
Like, in the fight that Joe Piscopo has with the giant pig man, Treat Williams gets knocked into the open door asphyxiation room. I don't know why it's open at that point.
It's a time lock. No, I don't know.
It's something.
It got shot by a bullet, didn't it?
Did it?
Let's go with yes.
Okay.
Because otherwise we can't.
Let's not investigate it. Okay.
There was a ruckus. The door opened. I don't know.
Yep. That's what ruckuses do.
Yeah.
They were going to kill a dog. There was a dog out there in a cage.
No.
The dog's fine.
I don't know why it's open. The dog's fine.
No animals were injured in this movie?
No. But he gets thrown in there and the door locks while Joe Piscopo is still fighting the giant pig man.
Mm. Yeah.
And it slowly just depressurizes him and kills Treat Williams.
And this is the one time they can't short a circuit and open the door.
Yeah.
The one time.
Can't do it.
I know, right? Never would you need it.
Never would you think to try and shoot the glass? He's got guns laying around.
Yeah.
He just got to bang out and cry and have his Spock.
Because you would think if you shot it, you would have a big explosion, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's no gas. I mean, the pressure and everything. Yeah, but
air pressure.
Well, still, I mean, his head would explode. Yeah. It's very true.
True, yes.
Very true.
Oh, man. Oh, makes sense.
That's the line they stopped on. Right. That's where they stopped.
We're breaking down physics for Dead Heat.
I know what this movie is, but there's certain lines we cannot cross.
Clearly, Dead Heat did their research.
This is one of them.
Obviously.
He'll die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they bring it. So, yeah, the coroner.
Joe Piscopo was crushed by Trudy Lawrence's death.
Yeah, wouldn't you be? He's been his partner since training at the police academy.
It's the reaction that we expect and want, unlike later on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, Joe Piscopo should have been pissed for the way everybody else reacted to what happens to him.
Right? Yeah. We'll get to it.
Considering.
Spoiler alert.
But anyway, they immediately decide to put Treat Williams onto the machine.
No second thoughts.
No, none at all. It can't be said enough, the short time gap between them discovering the machine to them discovering what it does and then putting Treat Williams in it.
Yeah.
Discovering what it does. I like the way you think.
Yeah, right?
Theorizing what it does and putting Treat Williams in there to try it out. It is like, it's... No characters should make this leap.
Yeah. Like, she's basically saying, I think this is... And while she's figuring it out, Joe Piscopo's dragging him to the machine.
Does. Way ahead of you, Doc. Shove him on there.
Let's throw him up on here and get this thing fired up.
Yeah. And so they electrocute Roger Mortis for, like, 5 minutes.
Roger Mortis.
And bring him back to life.
And then the doctor goes... Oh, but wait, there's a horrible side effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To you being brought back to life, you're going to decay at a rapid rate, and you've only got 12 hours, probably, to live.
Yeah.
He takes this very hard, I think. No, not at all. Actually, he takes it completely in stride.
He feels great. Yeah.
It's in like, that deadpan Treat Williams way, there were a lot of...
Yeah.
I'm a cop, and I've got a job to do, and I've got 12 hours to do this job.
Yep. Straight face.
I'm going to find the person. Oh, because we
I only have 12 hours to live, but let's find this guy.
Yeah, well, the guy that they're looking for, we forgot to mention, is the guy. We do see a black-gloved hand throw the switch to depressurize the room.
Yes.
The
treatment. Someone does kill him.
He was murdered.
He was murdered.
Yes.
Yeah, not an accident.
Murdered.
Now he's going to have to solve his own.
Because
murder.
He can't keep a good cop dead.
Is that the tagline?
Dead Heat!
There's a theme song at the end. When the song came up during the credits, we were sitting there going, like, please let this be the Dead Heat theme song. And it was.
Yes.
Yep.
Need someone to write the song. It's the 80s. It's what we do.
They need to put Mondo needs to do the soundtrack album. Dead Heat.
Dead Heat.
Just one song on five times on the front of the album.
So this is where the movie slows down and becomes heavily dramatic, and the investigation of, like, if you only have so much time to live,
what would you do with your life? Of like what a man's thought on mortality and what you do with your life and the meaning of what your life is.
Because earlier in the car, Joe Piscopo suggests the idea, what if you knew your death date? What would you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing this very situation.
Yeah.
He would throw a party, by the way.
Well, I'm still amazed that you were able to say all that with a straight face. Because the movie doesn't have...
Oh, it doesn't go that way at all. I'm sorry, listener. I apologize if I misled you at all. That is not what happens.
No.
At all.
No. We have to have more makeup effects.
Of course.
In a scene that's not too bad. So they end up going to... They discover that the chemical is also being purchased by a Chinese restaurant. In San Francisco, Chinatown.
No. First they go and get
Randy. Yeah, they got to go to Randy's apartment.
Oh, shit,
apartment.
Sorry. Yep.
Don't jump ahead yet.
Okay.
They got to go get Randy because when the shooting started...
She's
the linchpin.
Yes.
As they said.
The linchpin, yes. Uh-huh.
As soon as the shooting started, she ran off and got away. So, once they've accepted that Treat Williams is a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Once the characters in this world have accepted this.
And there are many jokes made at his expense.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what you do to keep the mood light.
It's basically, well, that's done. Next.
Uh-huh. Hey, you're dead.
Let's
all right.
go find Randy.
So now they say they have to find the man who did this to them. Mm-hmm. That did this to him.
Yeah.
So they go over to Randy's house. Find her trying to escape in her car. Drag her back
inside. We know that she's leaving because she packed an extra pair of panties in her purse.
Yep.
Joe Piscopo
explains it all.
Detective work.
White and lacy panties.
I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
What do they? They get into the conversation, and then someone starts shooting through the back.
Videotape.
Door? The videotape.
Yep.
All right.
We're going to explain it all in this videotape.
Except they explain nothing.
No. Vincent Price Vincent shows Price. Up as an old man on the videotape, and I'm like, is this going to be Vincent Price's only scene in the movie?
Don't tell me this is his last movie.
No, he still had Edward Scissorhands to do.
I think it was his,
Jesus,
I
forgot
about
that. Yeah. Yeah, he did a bunch of crappy movies in the 80s, like The Offspring and other stuff that you haven't heard. In between, bookended by, like, you know, Thriller and Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Vincent Price plays a character who we're introduced to as Randy's father. What's his name? Loudermilk.
Alfred P. Loudermilk?
Yeah.
A rich fellow who may or may not be involved in some type of corporation that has some tie to this, bringing this...
resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
Bringing people back to life.
Yeah, the technology, I guess.
That's yes.
And then the guy's busting and starting shooting because we don't want too much. You know, we got to parse this stuff out.
Right, yeah. You can't just give it to us all at once.
So this is the fucked up looking, the two hitmen.
Yeah, the two zombie hitmen who everybody's got an Uzi in this movie. It was the gun of the 80s and 90s.
I think so.
Yeah, it was.
There was cocaine and Uzis, Sean. It was a glorious
day. Infinite number of bullets.
Yeah.
Because it's an Uzi. Have you seen the clips on those things? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only got to be like...
It sticks way out the bottom.
It really does. All right, yeah. I won't argue. You're right. But they bust through the back window, and everybody's also a horrible shot in this movie because it's like... And everyone dives out of the way, and they're shooting back at them, and Joe Piscopo jokes are made at some point. But they dive in from back of the couch, and then the guys... The way they shoot, I mean, they're just... They could shoot the couch, but they're just, like, shooting at the back wall at this point.
Yeah.
Because like, they're horrible zombie hitmen. You gotta shoot books. You shoot books in the 80s.
Right. You have to have, like, the character running away and...
It's not a lead-lined couch or something like that. It's steel, you know.
That's how they used to make them back in the day. Couches were made of steel.
Maybe it was a fold-out bed.
Okay, I'll give you that. Or at least, like, a fucking recliner. Yeah, then they had steel.
The best part, though, is when they hit Treat Williams... He hits the ground, gets back up, and while he's running away, he's getting tagged again in the back.
He is. It's good.
The squibs are exploding all over.
Oh, it's just
a guy who has avoided being shot for his entire adult life as a professional police officer. But the moment that he's dead, how else do we get to show off his amazing dead superpowers? He's got to get shot like his
son.
Many times.
So he does. But he also cuts himself at some point and doesn't bleed.
Oh, my God.
But it plays really fast and loose with, like, the consistency of the state of deadness because
it does.
Cuts himself in an artery. It doesn't bleed. Oh my God, I'm dead.
He also barely bangs into a fucking beaker.
Yeah, that was good.
But then there, with the back of his hand, but there's a gouge in his wrist.
Glass is sharp. What do you want? It's like razors. But then he gets shot with the Uzi and blood's exploding out of him.
Oh, that's great.
We've established that he has no heartbeat. Or the
No heartbeat. They all
so there's no blood being pumped or
No. So it's just kind of.
But yeah, he's bleeding out of all these bullet holes.
Yes.
Well, he's still got blood in him.
Maybe it just wants to. It's inside you and it just wants to get out.
I think so.
So as soon as you puncture the pressure. Okay.
Yes.
This is going to be for my vampire movie.
Oh. Not Snowman?
Yeah.
Can Snowman be a vampire? Why not Snowman vampire?
Snowman is a vampire.
Why not?
Oh my God.
He's a vampire, but he can't participate in the sucking of blood because it's warm and he will melt. And this is the crux of the problem that he's facing in his life. Done.
Yeah,
copyright 2016 Saturday Night Freak.
All right. Genius. I'm going to try and wrap my head around that. But okay, so they get
2017.
Yeah. That's true.
So they enlist Randy in their investigation to try and find out
who these
nefarious people are, the puppet masters pulling the strings on all this.
Well, all right. They do. But they still have to escape the two zombie hitmen.
Well, yeah. Well, you do that by hiding underwater and popping up and like, I can hold my breath forever because I'm dead.
Very true.
Stabbing him with an umbrella.
Yep. Yeah. Is that the last we saw him, that guy? Yep. I thought he was swimming away.
No, he tried and then he went down.
Again, this is why it's an inconsistent kind of thing. Like some people can be shot a million times and keep coming at you. Some people, you stab them with a lawn umbrella.
Yeah.
And they're down.
And they're down. I get the electrocuting thing, though.
But I thought that was maybe going to come in later. I thought maybe here we're seeing like a key to how you actually stop these guys.
Yes.
If you can plug them full of holes and nothing happens, but you throw a stereo into a pool with one of them and you electrocute it, then I'm like, they're going to make some kind of weapon.
Yes. Later on, they would gear up with electronic stuff to electrocute the zombies to easily get past them. No.
That doesn't happen.
Does not happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot more shooting in this movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, a lot more.
A lot more.
So they escape them.
And then they go to the China shop.
China shop is okay. The next one. Okay.
So the China shop is kind of amusing for, as a sequence in the movie because yes. You know, it has
inexplicability.
Right. Because we find out, well, Professor, what is it? Ken Tanaka? Whatever. The big, he's like a wrestler. Yeah. He's been in a bunch of movies that I can't remember right now, but it seems like
Three Ninjas.
Big Trouble in Little China and Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
That's so. The breadth of his work right there. That's the range
probably
he has.
Enter the Dragon. He is with one of those big butcher knives, like carving
up a duck.
Poor duck.
Yeah.
And Key Luke, who played the Asian guy.
The shop owner in Gremlins. Gremlins. Yes. Yeah.
He plays the Chinese shop. Oh, it's very stereotypical.
I mean, hey, you get what work you can at some point.
Yeah. But it turns out that this guy is, they go there just like, what are you ordering all this chemical for? But it turns out that this guy has one of these machines like built into the lamp, the chandelier of his restaurant, or at least wherever the back room, the kitchen of the restaurant.
I don't really know.
Why?
Why? He developed the technology.
No.
With secret Eastern, you know,
racist
ancient Chinese
son of a
secret.
Bitch.
Is it's that in what you're case saying,
no. Cops come to his shop one day and he needs to light the place up.
No, none of this makes sense.
So maybe he wants to. He has so is it something to do with the freshness of the meat that he's whatever. He ends up reanimating as a distraction, so he can escape. Reanimating every single piece of food, freshly killed animals
as they are. Yes.
In the restaurant.
Every
some
of
these
meat.
Are awesome.
Awesome.
There's a boar. There's ducks hanging up.
There's ducks everywhere.
Who go wah, 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 when they're crowding around Randy. Wah. I mean, I feel like the ducks are like subjugated too, so they're getting their revenge. Like they've been
is
killed
that what
and
they
made,
want?
Killed
is
and
that
made to eat. And I think they're trying to eat everybody in there.
I couldn't figure out what their end game was. They're just crowding around him.
They are really just attacking him. And Treat Williams gets attacked by what? What did you figure out?
It was a flying liver.
I thought it was a squid.
No, it was a liver. No limbs, just a big, juicy liver.
It was like rolled out of the package and just kind of just loop, 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 loop.
Yeah, it was in butcher paper package ready for your crock pot. No.
Yeah.
Butchered liver.
And it just flies.
It flies.
They suction
rate. They jump.
Liver alone.
Yeah. We got
liver alone.
The barbecue pig attacks
Joe Piscopo. There's fish that are flopping their heads around.
Yeah.
That have come back to life on
but
ice.
The coup de grace.
The piece de resistance.
There you go.
Oh, the piece de resistance.
Is the gigantic.
From the deep freeze. Emerges what, Colin?
It's like a.
A bull.
A side of beef. It's two sides of beef.
It came out like...
It scratches at the ground like a bull.
Like a bull. Yeah.
So it was about to charge like a man.
I feel it was.
Hence our bull in a China shop.
I mean, I'm
really bull in a China shop.
I feel like we've made that joke before recently.
Foreshadowing. See, we know how to tell a story.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that one, does that one attack Joe Piscopo as well? Doesn't it like try
to... No, that one's after Treat Williams.
So after he gets the liver off of his face?
Stuck in the rib cage of the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Joe takes the meat hook and gets him in the back.
Oh, right,
yeah, that's right. Joe saves the day.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then they shoot out the weird
device.
Chandelier.
Is that the part where, do they shoot the big butcher dude and he goes down after one shot and he's just like, well, not everyone's a
one
zombie.
Shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
This wasn't where the woman had the, or what Treat Williams had that line.
Oh, after all that.
Was it after all that?
Yeah.
What after they get to that.
You got to be careful or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot what she says.
Careful. I'm dead.
But he's like, lady, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, I'm fucking dead. Rim shut.
Possibly the best sequence in the movie. I mean,
it was fantastic.
Top three.
Yeah.
As far as.
I mean, as far as you're going to see these, I guess, for like the makeup effects shenanigans, right? And the comedy of Joe Piscopo. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean,
it was a big drawback then.
That he is.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I mean, as far as the articulation of this is where they spent like a considerable amount of money, it seems, to bring all of these food items to life. But the Asian shop owner gets away.
He does. He runs away through the back door.
Yeah. So where does this lead them then? I mean, where are they in their investigation now? They know that something is screwy with this guy. He's somehow connected to Dante Pharmaceuticals or whatever.
Yes. So I think
they need to visit the grave. Is that where that comes into play?
Right. So they split up.
They split up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Treat Williams is going to take Randy.
To go visit the mausoleum.
To go see her supposed father, Vincent Price, to make sure that he's dead? Milk. What were they going there for?
I don't know.
Okay.
Clues?
We don't know. And was there something about she's really not his daughter?
They find that out at the mausoleum.
At the mausoleum,
Because he's a better detective than we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, Randy, tell me, you're not really his daughter. Blah, 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 blah. Like, what? I don't know how he guessed this.
I don't know either.
Because he's on the monument, it says, beloved husband.
Oh, right.
It says nothing about father.
There's a reason for everything in this movie.
Yeah.
It makes it very clear to us what's going on.
Mm-hmm. But the part that I don't get, and it threw me off watching it, was while they're in the mausoleum, he's like, there's got to be a sign or something around here. And he looks in the lamp.
Why would you think this?
Of all places.
Why would you think this?
Written in blood. What, a set of numbers, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Numbers.
I don't.
These dots are so far apart.
How is
he putting them together?
The only thing I can gather is he's looking at the things on that little table. He picks up the phone, looks at it, which the phone line was cut.
Why is there a phone in a mausoleum? Yeah.
Well, because the guy wants to get. He's a rich guy. He wants to get buried with all of his like.
You can't
his
take it
room,
with you,
right?
Colin.
But he's looking at the items on this podium, and he looks at the lamp, and the writing is on the inside of the lamp facing you. Yeah. So he would have seen it if he looked at the lamp.
But the thing is that who would write that to begin with? Why would
who did write?
That's where I'm confused.
There we go.
Because knowing what we don't want to jump ahead too much, listener, in case you're listening to this.
We have to parse this out to not spoil anything until we get to it.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. There's no one who could have left that message because the message, it turns out, is you can decipher it with a phone keyboard, use the number or letters.
Yeah, the keypad.
And
yeah.
Spell out
numbers
the
to
identity.
Letters. Numbers to letters.
Yeah.
I know, that was another good one.
I'm just going to stare at a phone and like, oh my God, the light bulb goes off. This is the key.
His dead brain figured it out.
It's a cipher, yeah.
The same key I used in middle school to write notes to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
The telephone.
So who left this note? We have no good suspects for this.
And there's
because
no
the
reason.
Person, so if it is Lagerhoffen.
Hoffenstatter.
Loudermilk.
Loudermilk.
If it's Loudermilk left the message, right?
Yeah.
Knowing what we know about him from the
it
end
makes
of the
no
movie.
Sense.
Why would he direct it? Yeah, it makes
to,
absolutely
to
no sense.
To the person
sense.
He's in cahoots with, why would he leave that? Who would leave that?
I can't explain.
Nobody
that. I can't answer this, Sean. I can't.
In a locked mausoleum of all things.
Yeah.
To have that. You're, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's perplexing clue. Or
number 18.
Turn of event number 18. The next thing that happens is because Joe Piscopo said he was going to go after Loudermilk's lawyer. Mm-hmm. A character we've not been introduced to at this point in the film.
Right.
So, I guess they're going to go and meet up with Joe Piscopo at
back
this point?
At her place, back at Randy's place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Later on.
Because the window is still broken. So that's why I'm like, okay, this is her house.
Yes.
They go in there, it's all dark. Her lights don't work.
There, yeah.
And they find a body hanging upside down, submerged in a fish tank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the body's badly, you know, swollen and decomposed. And we're like, well, who the fuck is that?
It took us a minute.
Is that the lawyer?
Yeah.
And then the jacket is what gave it away.
We're like, wait, it's Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
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 It's like the movie totally, like, lost its shit. It just like, what the hell's going on now?
Well, we're wondering, I mean, not since, like, No Country for Old Men has there been
Dear
a moment
Lord,
where a...
Get off that movie's dick, all right?
Where a character, his fate happens off screen. I don't understand what... There's no shock effect. Well, is there supposed to be... You're supposed to be shocked that, oh, my God, Joe Piscopo's dead. We didn't get to see him get killed.
We were shocked.
Yeah, we were shocked.
Yeah,
we were confused more than
it's
anything.
It's confusion, yes.
Because at this point, you're only, what, about halfway, you know, what?
About three quarters.
Three quarters of the movie through.
And it's just like, what?
And he's gone.
It's one of those moments where you feel like, did Joe Piscopo get in his, like, I mean, like, was he an egotistical guy? He got into fights with somebody behind the scenes and they said, you know what, Joe, you're off the fucking movie. You're fired. He was like, I need to get off this movie, Marty. Get me off this movie. To his agent.
Marty.
And they got him off.
His agent's an old Jewish man. because it's
Hollywood.
Jews were in Hollywood, right, Holly?
Right.
And, like, isn't that what you said earlier? Off mic.
All I said was I thought there was someone named Rosenberg involved with this movie. That's all I said.
I think he's the producer.
Thank you.
So But I guess that's the thing. It's like, did they have to fucking write Joe Piscopo out of this movie? And so they just put
he seems like such a likable guy.
Yeah.
See, and my first thought, I was like, well, his death's going to come into play later on.
I mean, obviously, that's, like at this point. I mean, we all thought that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Piscopo is not gone. He is too much.
Could you make it more obvious?
Treasure.
Could you make it more obvious?
To get him out of this movie.
You have to have, because if you're going to do it right, aspiring screenwriters, you have to actually show the guy get killed to have a finality to his death. Otherwise, there's a, we know it's unresolved and he's going to come back later in the movie.
Right. Or at least show him like showing up at the place like, oh, I made it here before everybody else and have him get like dragged off screen or something.
Yeah.
Hit over the head. Something. Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Some kind of finality to it. But no.
It's a fry pan to the back of the head.
An inexplicable scene happens immediately following that.
Well, a very well put together Treat Williams at this point shows no
remorse
emotion of his partner.
He likes to fluctuate.
I mean, he
between
is dead.
Being
he is dead. So we're just going to use that as the explanation. He's dead, so he's
dead inside.
He's got no emotions. So, his heart.
He has
dead.
No heart. He's dead inside.
Yeah. Let's
pull him out and wrap his body up. And
yeah.
And then,
His partner. It was his partner.
So nothing. He should be showing some kind of
something. Yeah. Joe Piscopo cried for him when he died.
Treat Williams. He's a movie star. I mean, you expect
he just
more.
He just walks in.
He also walks into the bathroom after Randy has had a shower. She's sitting there in a towel, combing her hair.
And they've like, known each other for like
knock or whatever
4 hours.
I'm like, oh, here comes the explicit sex scene.
Yeah,
well,
this
I'm
is
like,
where we find out Ken Whitman still,
this, like, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, she's going to have sex with a dead guy.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. But no.
But no. Something much more shocking.
What a twist.
Two twists. Yeah. The first twist is Randy just reveals not only was, she not Laudermilk's daughter. I think she revealed that earlier.
In the mausoleum,
But apparently she's also dead. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Out of the blue, oh, yes, I'm dead. We've established the rules for you, Roger Mortis, that you only have 12 hours to live. But me, as Randy, I get to live forever as long as I help them, because she's the spokesperson, PR spokesperson for their company.
Yeah. Yes.
So somehow they do have the technology to extend the lifespan of a dead
person.
They
lied to her,
But they lied to her. And so she decomposes right in front of our fucking eyes right then and there.
It was the stew metaphor that they had earlier, that they would just decompose into a stew. She stewed.
Yep. She stewed. She decomposed slowly. Yeah. She dripped.
And
she melted.
And the whole
her
time you guys
off.
Are like, is this a dream sequence?
It felt like a dream sequence.
It was out of nowhere. It was
because her head falls off.
And it still
talks. And it still talks.
Yeah.
As it disintegrates. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Very weird.
It.
And unexpected.
Very
the
weird.
Effects are that they did this in the movie.
I like the effects.
I like the effects.
No.
Okay, so you're not saying like that was a revolutionary plot twist. I did not see that.
No,
coming.
That was stupid.
I mean, I did not see that coming.
It was out of nowhere.
She
was calling her agent trying to get out of the movie and
right.
It was not strategically out of nowhere. It was just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
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 We don't know what to do with this character. We can't bring her into the final act.
No, bye, Randy.
Yeah. So what
That's
are we going to do?
That's a pretty cool melting scene, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, the effects
were
great.
The effects on her hand, like...
That was cool. Yeah.
Because it looked like it was still moving around. It didn't look like a lapdiz.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. It was
so
good.
So I'm like, how are they doing that? This is before CGI,
that was
obviously. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty
good.
The little, like, pockets that opened up. Like, that was great. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, the blister, that turned black. In the
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bravo, Steve Johnson. I hope this movie got you some work.
Props, man.
Maybe on the demo reel. Bravo. Yeah. So this, of course, leaves Treat Williams with nowhere to go except full-on commando/Rambo/vengeful cop mode.
Which is
where
what we
he's
going to
terminate her up.
It really is. It feels like it.
Yeah. Well, after he gets into there's a moment where the bad guys get the upper hand on him and he gets handcuffed inside of
an ambulance.
Well,
an ambulance.
This is where after they die, this is where he figures out the whole numbers
the
on the
phone
thing.
Yeah.
The body docker.
Because he's going, he's trying to call Rebecca, gets her message, and then he hangs it up and then he figures out body doc. For no reason, because nobody left this message, because it's dumb.
Yeah, and that happens to be the license plate of the Darren McGavin character, the medical examiner. Oh, my God, we've cracked the case. He's the guy who's behind it all.
So go back to the morgue.
We go to the morgue, but Darren McGavin, of course, has, it spills the beans, and there's that scene. But he has a couple of zombie henchmen who get the best of Treat Williams and put him in this ambulance. This is what I'm building toward here is these moments, right, that you expect, hey, this guy is dead. And aside from being a human, like, you know, target practice,
sure,
mm-hmm. right, we'll that get. He should be able to do some kind of special
something. You
know, abilities to get out of sticky right. situations.
Dislocate a thumb. And pull it out of the cuffs or yeah. something like that.
Which I thought that's where they were going with it. Because in the ambulance, when he's trying to like get to the steering wheel, his hand starts pulling. And I was right. like, he's going to pull his hand off. That's right. going
to
happen.
Yeah. yeah.
I thought he was happen. Trying to crawl to like a saw or something.
That right, yeah, in the ambulance.
And he's going to go full saw on his arm.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
But no, listener.
no.
That would be too simple and too easy. We need another set piece.
Yeah, the chase scene, because we yeah. haven't had that.
no,
so we're going to have yeah. the car stunt sequence where we're rolling down the San Francisco hills in a runaway ambulance, which is pushing another car, which apparently has no brakes.
And
apparently.
going remarkably straight.
Into traffic, where it causes, he's like, this is going to be great. And it's you're probably killing innocent drivers
yeah.
you know, in this intersection.
But, he doesn't
but
care
they needed an like, explosion.
Yeah! That famous Treat Williams yell. Which, if you didn't know, is famous. I always enjoy it.
It's what I look forward to.
I'm going
to
say it's sampled in a song or something. You're just being facetious.
I mean,
it should be famous
but
after
the
movie.
He does it a lot. There are some like moments where there's at least. You could put a small compilation together on YouTube.
I feel,
of Treat Williams yelling,
I feel like I you could. I just can't think of one other instance where it happened.
It's got to be like Phantoms. the Phantom.
Yeah.
Where he's like, this is unbelievable!
yeah.
And he's gone.
So he flips the fucking ambulance over.
Which, by the way, Rebecca's already dead in the ambulance.
Rebecca's dead.
Oh, yeah. Another yeah. shocking plot development. Hey, your ex-girlfriend or whatever, she's dead.
Everybody dies.
I had to get her out of the way. She's dead already.
Yeah.
Didn't need
point,
to show
I'm
it.
I'm thinking, man, everybody's going to be brought back to life at the end of the movie
right.
to make the happen.
That would be great.
Yeah.
But he gets horribly burned, so this gives Steve Johnson another special effects moment yeah. to craft the Terminator version
it really is.
Of, mm-hmm. yeah, the two-faced Terminator
yeah,
Treat Williams.
Right, because it looks like the Terminator from part one after he gets hit by the,
right.
the yeah. fucking semi and half of his face is gone mm-hmm. and everything. And then he gets on a motorcycle and looks more like the
yeah.
Terminator.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's when he steals
Who edited the Terminator?
Mark Goldblatt.
Mark Goldblatt. What was that, 84?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's just stealing shit. He's stealing shit from other shit he's done.
But it was written
Smart
by Terry
man.
Black. Well, they
Smart
were in cahoots, I'm sure.
It worked.
So this leads to a final showdown where we confront all the bad guys, who are, of course, like, when it's ultimately revealed, the bad guys are the rich guys who gather around the circular, you know,
right.
machine.
Yeah.
It's always the rich white people.
It is, always. Well, were they all white? I don't
know.
No,
there was an Asian dude.
That's right. They're just rich. Yeah. Rich makes you worse than anything in the movie,
really
logic.
Because you think you can do anything.
God, according to Vincent Price's character, God wants them to live forever. And if he can't, they can pay him off.
We can pay him off.
That's a
it's
decent
a good
line.
It's a good
yeah.
line.
It's decent, yeah.
It's yep. good. He got some good licks in, Vincent Price did in this scene.
In his big moment
yeah.
in the movie.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Right.
He's still giving it
when
a
we
goal.
Realize like he's 100? Not dead.
Right?
Yeah.
That was the big
that
shocker?
That was the moment, yeah.
Not really. We knew that was
yeah.
coming, right? We
yeah.
knew he was the puppet master behind all this. And Darren McGavin and him are in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Treat Williams comes in. Oh, there
oh,
was
you,
a scene
you,
with
you,
the...
Yeah, I was say, do not pass that off. Treat Williams, in full Terminator mode, decides to infiltrate the morgue. And so he's got his... Uzi, and which he stole from the security guards he killed up front, and he's mowing down security guards.
As soon as they walk
left
in,
and right,
that's pure Looney Tunes. As soon as he walks,
it,
oh
yeah, because he's on the motorcycle and he's going up the little ramp, and he hits the chain
and
flies off through the glass doors,
the glass.
Spins around, slides across the floor, shooting
oh, yeah.
the
yeah.
security guards in
Fantastic.
The process.
Yeah.
Amazing,
amazing,
everything I wanted.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's where he comes. He gets his Uzi, and then he's just knocking off security guards one by one as he goes. And he runs into what can another? It has to be another zombie, another
yes.
zombie standing guard who also has an Uzi. And it's one. It's one of the greatest. I loved it so much that they
so
did
much.
This, and for so long, nobody. They didn't cut it too early.
It was
almost. Perfect. Where they both got Uzis and they're just standing there shooting each other, and that whole jerky body movement of getting shot, and it goes on forever. It's glorious. Again, I didn't know I wanted it until I got it, and I loved it.
It's so good.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to watch it again.
I do too.
Oh, so good. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the movie is available on Amazon and Vudu, I believe. Right now, listener, well, you can rent it for $3.
And we'll tell you at the end.
And you can own it for $7.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, he takes out then the other joke. Well, they bring back Joe Piscopo. As a demonstration of how the technology works, as Vincent Price showing this off to the other rich folks, brings back Joe Piscopo.
A far less bloated Joe Piscopo.
But this, he's been healed and whatever. But this Joe Piscopo is apparently been lobotomized or whatever. He's yields to suggestion, and they're using him basically as the muscle to kill that guy.
It's because he was Treat dead Williams. For too long. That
yes. Brain damage. Yeah.
Kill him, would you?
Probably has fish swimming around in his head.
Yes.
So, yeah. So there's the.
So this movie.
What could have been the big showdown between, you know, the two reanimated leads becomes Treat Williams appealing to Joe Piscopo's memory. Like, remember, like, the I lipstick. Wore the lipstick. Yeah, that's another
it
scene.
It brings out the color in your eyes.
Yeah. And jogs his memory. And sure enough, it actually works with really no problems.
Rhyme or
at
reason.
All.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just.
And then Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams are able to kill Darren McGavin. Because, however,
also we passed over the part where the most unenthusiastic zombie machine gun shooter, also a scene that takes forever. Because
I think that's Peter Kent and Arnold Schwarzenegger stand.
Oh, really?
I think it was.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he's not. He was in Reanimator too.
That would explain why he's expressionless.
Guys. Yeah, yeah. But
because he's just shooting Treat Williams for 5 minutes, not moving, not dodging, just standing there, and it's odd to say the least.
What killed Darren McGavin?
He did. He killed himself.
Oh, that's right. You guys are going to get me.
How did you forget?
Yes.
Because he still thinks a machine gun will work, even though we've seen. Oh, my God.
He created the zombies, right, with his company.
Yeah.
He sent the zombie robbers out to rob places and the jewelry store.
He knows what they're capable of.
He knows you can't take them down with a gun.
Yet he still tries and is shocked when it doesn't work on the two reanimated cops.
Then he will not give them the satisfaction, so he offs himself.
Yes, a bloodless shot through the head.
Mm-hmm.
Which Treat himself. Williams is not happy about.
No! God, what did you say?
You robbed me!
Yes!
No!
He's so angry.
And so we suggested to the movie at this point, well, you should throw him on the reanimation thing, which they did.
They literally look at each other and look at the reanimator machine. That's it. That's the scene. It's fantastic.
If it didn't go there, we would be disappointed.
Yes!
Yeah.
But they did.
We're going to bring him back so we can kill him again.
And have you ever seen what happens to a body when it's reanimated twice?
That was pretty good.
He explodes.
That was great.
As Vincent Price cowers in a corner.
Yeah.
Don't need a body bag. You need a mop.
At this point, you do.
Yeah.
Because he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And then they kind of walk off into heaven.
Yeah,
as...
but they before that, the thing that I guess is like the technology has to be destroyed, right?
Because
you can't leave this around for just some kid to find.
Right.
Yeah. You got to destroy it.
Vincent Price is begging them, leave my machine, leave my. No.
Because then we're also, by destroying the machine, that's a death sentence for the Vincent Price character. Because apparently we're guessing, even though this isn't explicitly stated in the movie how this works, there must be some kind of additional jolts from the machine keep you going longer. Why the Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo characters don't want to do this and prolong their lifespan,
I
don't know.
Doesn't
but
matter.
But okay. They destroy the machine because they're good guys. It's a moral thing to do.
Yes.
And then they walk off to heaven.
Everybody else they know is dead.
Like, hey, it's got a lot the same of work. Death date.
Right.
Rose forever.
It calls back to the bam. Yeah.
Bam. It would turn into like Death Becomes Her if they all decided to rejuvenate everybody who had died that they loved. Then they'd have to like try and figure out how to keep themselves together.
Yeah.
And they would slowly
maybe
decompose.
Robert Zemeckis saw this movie and said, hey, what if?
This is a
bad, what if?
Yeah. This is a good idea.
Yeah. There was like one moment of poignancy in the movie where Treat Williams, because it's like, this is. It's so easy for the characters to do this kind of, you know, whatever, the mayhem.
Yes.
Because they have no attachments. He's got this ex relationship, we assume, with the mortician.
Yes.
He doesn't really seem to be trying to pursue the relationship, which seems like it's maybe sort of there because they're very catty towards each other, the mortician and the PR lady.
I forgot about that scene. Oh, the one scene where they're together. Yeah. What was it? So you work here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a mortician. Oh. Yeah. It's like, what the hell? It's like, jeez, they're all fighting over a treat, Williams.
You've known him one day.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just, you know, and being dead, he's got that.
It is true. Yeah.
You see that hair?
No, it's true. Oh, my God. I get it.
Yeah. That's like a pompadour or something. It's glorious 80s hair.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's majestic.
But there's a moment where he's looking at, they're going through, you know, part of the investigation is looking through obituaries. And he does say something to the effect of, like, you know, they're probably writing my obituary now. And then he actually has to stop and pull away from the investigation, go off the corner and have a moment. Where he's like, if they wrote my obituary, it'd be no wife.
Husband to no one, father to none.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so they're establishing the fact that basically this guy, there's nothing to be lost by him and his partner wandering. We don't know what family life Joe Piscopo had.
No, he's a single girlfriend. He's like Joey from Friends.
He did mention a girlfriend when the breathing underwater bit.
Yep. These people don't have parents.
Oh, right.
Uncles, cousins, brothers, siblings. You know, like,
okay. Yeah, think about that in a movie like this.
Yeah. Married to their job. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah,
I just bring it up in passing.
There it is.
Is that you're saying? There it is. That's.
I mean, I think that's it. They walk off into heaven.
Dead heat.
Dead heat.
Yeah, and then the song.
I think that's it. And then we get Dead Heat, the song, and I think that's Dead Heat.
All right.
There's not much else you could say about it.
I'll tell you what, listener. Why don't you stick around? Because what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room, and we're each going to have our Dead Heat review, which I'm sure you want to hear because some of these are probably going to be gold. But before that,
listen. Thus far,
we want to summon Igor, our male demon. Igor, where are you, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Do you think he finds it rude that I clap for him? Like, is that rude to, like, summon him?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, come here now. Is that rude?
No.
Or do you think, do you want to
ring a bell?
I mean, do you think he wouldn't come if we didn't, like, hey, yo,
it was kind chop, of demanding chop, Igor. On him.
I feel bad about it now that I've thought about it.
You got to keep it up.
All right, I think so. I mean, maybe he won't come.
I think
he
would feel left out if he didn't do it. You know, like that's your thing.
All right.
So we're gonna rate some mail. The mail comes to us on facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreakShow. That's our page over there, and on Twitter
at Sat Freak Show,
or by old fashioned email SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. We should hand that off to Holly. You should do that.
Right. There should be a third. Yeah.
Time.
I can do that.
Responsibility.
Point at you. Okay. And then, we encourage you, dear listener, to please write in and be part of the Freak Show family because we'll read your comments on the air.
We might even watch your movies at some point.
That's also true. And that's the other thing, too. If we don't watch your movie in this, because we're only picking four, don't be offended and don't freak out because we may be drawing from them as the year goes on.
Maybe. We like the look of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, Karate Warrior 2 writes in on Twitter and says, I thought nothing could top the disaster that was Girlfriend from Hell. This was an episode that we did a little while ago. He says, I was wrong. There's a Boyfriend from Hell.
Oh.
Currently available on the Warner Archive.
Damn.
I made a comment that, what was it? We were watching Krampus, and I said something to the effect that Christmas Horror Story was a bad movie. Nick here went and watched it. Yep. Nick's wife writes in and says, it was bad. LOL.
Yeah, she didn't like it, but I didn't think it was too bad. It wasn't as bad as you said it was.
And Dom Cree writes in
about
tonight's movie because he picked it.
Thank you, Dom.
Thanks, Dom.
He says, guys. Okay, so I'm editing this. He wrote like a paragraph, a book. I'm gonna read this. Okay. He says, guys, I think we have officially have a winner for the worst listener's choice in Freak Show history because he watched the movie after... We picked it.
Oh.
He said, I got to watch it.
So he recommended it without having seen it?
I think he saw it a long time ago. So he rewatched it? Maybe. I'm not sure. But he says, it's the worst listener choice in Freak Show history. And of course, it had to be the first one ever. And it had to be mine. 2.5 curly mulleted cheese ball Piscopo shoehorn unintentionally funny one-liners out of 85.
He stole my review.
I wish this movie would. Oh, here you go. I wish this movie would self-zip its own body.
Oh,
whoa!
Bravo!
Wow, Dom.
Bravo, Dom.
Your own pick.
Dom, then why did you pick it?
Wow. We were going to have to start having a Kreese corner or something like that, where we just go to Dom. What did you think about this movie? It's just like reviews like that. He may earn his own spot in this podcast.
That's like a ninja taking a sword to himself, being,
Harry Carey.
Yeah. If you want Dom's fuller review, go to our Facebook page, because the post is there. He skewers it. Skewers it hard. Okay, so I'm Colin. I'm the first one up.
Colin. What did you think of Dead Heat?
Dead Heat.
This is another case of where I think the experience of watching the movie is more fun than the movie itself. Like, the movie itself, this one is pretty bad. I mean, like, the writing is terrible. Logic has no place here, right? Or it has no hold on it, at least. No. The acting is really bad. The direction is really bad. The editing is really bad. There's, like, shots where it's like, okay, we finished this scene, so we cut over to Joe Piscopo looking off into the sunset.
That was a great
and
edit.
And dissolve to whatever, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? You know, the staging is all weird. I mean, as far as the actors go, I'd say, like, you know, Piscopo is, like, a decently charismatic actor, right? Vincent Price does not, like, chimp out on this thing.
He does, to his credit,
what he can with the material. Darren McGavin is basically playing Darren McGavin. Yeah. Less Kolchak, more the dad from Christmas
Indeed.
Story. So, yeah, it's like I got to give it demerits on writing. Production value is pretty cheap, you know. But this makeup effects, the Steve Johnson stuff, I mean, would that be enough for you to, you know, to recommend that you watch it? I don't think so. I think this movie's hard to find. I think, you know, you're not going to find it anyway, unless you go looking. There's probably a reason that you haven't heard of Dead Heat. So, I don't know. I'm going to say you can skip it. I did not like the movie, even though if you watch it half drunk with a group of like-minded folks, you know, Mystery Science Theater style, it is a lot of fun that way, but it is no classic, and you probably won't ever want to see it again.
Did you listen to the last hour that we talked about this movie?
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
See, this is why you stick around for wrap-ups, because I was not expecting that.
See? There you go. That's
I thought Colin was going to be like, let's see it.
Yeah. No,
take that $3.99 and go rent it.
Yeah. No, because I can imagine them watching it. I was like, I wouldn't want to watch this. I don't think. Like, the trailer lies to you. It looks like a fucking awesome.
I don't know. Okay, the trailer gives you, says you can't keep a good cop dead. I mean, come on.
But it looks, I guess what I was expecting was that it would have a little bit more. I mean, even in these
coherence?
Movies, like, yes. I think that's my biggest problem with it, is that it just didn't make sense according to its own fucking rules. You know, it's like sometimes even if it's a train wreck, you're like, well, at least it's doing, you know, it's consistent or something. It's like, you know, it makes some kind of logical sense how scenes connect to each other, at least, or why somebody is making the, you know, logical leap that they do. But in this movie, it's like, I just can't find the thread. I mean, you know, they were just pulling shit out of the air when it needed to be plopped on the table. So, it is a decent high energy kind of thing. So, but yeah, I would say, and it's a tough one. Now you're making me rethink it. I'm still going to stick with it. I'm going to say no, pass on Dead Heat. Hmm. Nick.
All right. I love schlock movies.
No.
I do. But I don't know. This movie was fun to watch with a bunch of people. But oh God, it was bad. It was bad. I almost wish the Joe Piscopo character would have been the zombie to begin with, because I think they would have had a little bit more fun with it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would, if I were like cruising Netflix or something. It's not even on Netflix, but cruising the bottom of whatever you're watching, Amazon or whatever. I probably would have come across it and probably would have watched it, seeing that, you know, buddy cops, zombies, 80s stank.
Oh, yeah.
I probably would have watched it. But do I see myself watching it past tonight? No, I don't see it. And do I see people paying $3.99 to rent it for 24 hours? No. So I would say I'd pass on it. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I'd watch it one time and then that's it.
Okay, so plot holes aside, bad editing aside, bad directing aside, bad acting aside, bad story aside, this movie is fantastic. It's hilarious. The makeup is on point. I thought it was great. The melting, the transition into zombie when it actually did happen. Just fantastic. I loved the makeup. Great. The hilarity, the one-liners, Joe Piscopo, everything I expect from Joe Piscopo.
Man, those one-liners got he's, too much, though.
But that's what he does.
One of them didn't even have a
I'm a vegetarian.
Sorry. Yeah. There was one
but
that,
that's
like,
why it's funny. It's so bad. It's like, so bad.
Yeah. And now if you multiply it by my girlfriend's weight, and I think it was a hard cut to something else. Yeah, I think that was the joke.
What's the joke?
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible
the
and joke everything.
Is fat, I think.
Yeah. Everything I expect from Joe Piscopo. Fantastic. I had so much fun with this movie. So much fun. I think it was good that he played he didn't play the zombie. I loved that the straight guy was the zombie. You know, that I think it needed to play that way. I had so much fun. I definitely recommend this movie for a good laugh. I will never say it's a good movie, but it's a fun movie. And I don't regret that $3 that was just on my debit card one little bit.
Oh,
I don't regret it at all.
I may
pay you the other $3 so you can have it forever just in case we go back.
Sean and I will watch this movie without you guys. Love it. Love it. Dead heat.
Colin said that he watched this trailer and that he didn't. Which you didn't get what you what it promised.
I thought it promised me a better movie than
The trailer was for a movie where a cop dies, gets brought back to life, and they have to find out who did it to him. I got everything that was promised in that trailer from this movie. Now, yeah, it's bad. Like, yes, but it's so. I don't know what it is. I liked the chemistry between Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo. I mean, he's got some bad one-liners, but they're pretty fun together. Yes. They were funny to me. I liked him. I liked, like Holly said, the fact that Treat Williams is like the straight guy playing the zombie who got brought back to life. I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I think you can watch this movie and get have fun with it. I mean, the effects are also great. We talked earlier about nostalgia being a big part of why we like something like this, but yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean, that could be 100% true, but you could still love it for that. I got everything I wanted out of this movie based on what I thought it was going to be. So, and I think people watching this can get it too. I recommend it. I don't think I could not recommend this movie. This is I had fun with this movie.
So is it a $3 rental or a $7 buy?
It's definitely a $3 rental.
For sure.
For sure. Like, that will not be $3 you'll want back. That is well-spent money on this movie.
I regret nothing.
I don't. I would pay for this movie. I would be like, that was worth it. That was worth the $3 rental. Yeah, I recommend it. You should watch this movie. I liked it. I had fun.
Dead heat.
Good. Dead heat. I've been singing the song for the past, like, 2 hours.
You've been singing two words.
I know. I could directly quote this movie to you, and I have been through this podcast. I recommend this movie. It was fun.
All right. Well, that wraps up Dead Heat. So next week, we're going to continue our listener's choice marathon with Holly's pick.
Oh, no.
Holly, what are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching a little film called Rawhead Rex.
Woo! All right.
Finally. I've been doing this for 4 years, and I always want to watch Rawhead Rex. Finally. Am I going to be here? I hope I'm going to be here.
I hope you're going to be here.
You better be here.
That's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. Tune in to find out if Sean's here. And until then,
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
And the basement is going dark.